Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's 101 Part-Time Jobs. I'm Giles Bidder, and over the weekend I was at Liverpool Sound City interviewing the next wave of exciting and interesting artists, the bands, the people who are doing it now, and I wanted to get their stories, an unfiltered view of what they're up to. Last episode I spoke with Brooke Combe, Home Counties and the lottery winners, and on this episode I'm speaking with Anthony Smerick, Quali Black and Joshua Epithet. Cheers for Sound City for inviting me up. Thanks to Virgin Music Group, and thank you for listening. Coming up now, it's Anthony Smerick from a lovely garden outside Grand Central in a sunny Liverpool at Sound City. 101
part-time. Hello, I'm Anthony Smerick. I'm here on 101 part-time jobs. I've had a lovely time and I've got a furry yellow book. Have you?
Anthony Smerick, 101 part-time jobs.
How are you doing?
Is that how you pronounce Smerick?
No.
Fuck.
But, fuck, do you know what? I really appreciate that you just barreled in with it.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, I think I say it wrong.
All right.
It's my dad's name. Okay. And I never knew him. It's just Smerick.
Smerick.
It's dead easy.
Yeah.
It's like the SZ's a sh. But yeah.
Smerick sounds like a name, that's kind of a name that like Seth Rogen and his friends would
could
have.
Could be. I do think it sounds a bit like, well, my friends at school used to call me Smez, which yes. Sounds a bit like an STD.
No, but it's fun. You can't introduce yourself
STD.
As Smez, yeah.
No, I can't. I've stopped doing that.
That's the first thing you say. It's like after going to the loo,
yeah.
You wash your hands and they're still wet.
Smez
shake
everywhere.
Someone's hand.
Sorry,
and you're like, it's not piss.
Yeah, that is actually a really good one. I think people get Anthony wrong more because there's no H in mine.
Yeah,
so that's the one. But I do very much appreciate that you just barreled in with that. Good, thank you.
You just played at Grand Central Hall.
Yeah.
How was it?
Quite a baptism of fire, to be fair, for my first show in Liverpool. I've never played here before.
It's a great venue.
Which is wild, and it was beautiful, and you know, everyone was smiling and having a good time. So that's kind of what we're here to do.
What are the core things that make a good show day for you?
For me personally, or
yeah,
for the actual
show?
Well, to me, I think, you know,
starting from the wake up.
I don't know if I want it to be about me. Like, I feel like it's like a responsibility that, you know, it's dead expensive to come out to a gig now and you've got to get childcare and all these different things. So I feel like my responsibility is always on, like, can we do a good show? I was off the booze for like a year. But I've recently started having the one Guinness before I go on.
That's nice. Did that affect your songwriting?
It's in one of the lyrics.
Yeah.
There's mine's a Guinness and a big bag of crisps if you're offering. It's one of the words.
Yeah.
It's usually better than that. More poetic.
But, I mean, coming off not drinking, did you find that you're waking up earlier in like your routine?
No, I wish. I honestly was like, and I left teaching in December, only in December, and I thought I'm going to be living the life of luxury here, and I'm just as stressed. And I just get up later, I just panic in a smaller time frame.
And yeah. So you were a teacher.
Yeah.
What did you teach?
I was a high school English teacher.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I loved it. I did. I did it for like 5 years. It's a very difficult job, but I loved it, and I'm glad that I did it because I think this is quite similar in a weird way. That's a bit like it's coming to, you know, to a town that's not yours, and you're trying to like keep everyone's attention and make sure everyone's happy and everyone's. It's a bit like doing a cover lesson,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So it's quite similar.
And you're communicating. You're speaking to people.
Yeah, and my like songs are quite wordy, so mm-hmm. I kind of am just yeah. talking to people.
What are your favourite texts? Were you like Old Man in the Sea? Were you
like, that's good.
The other one?
No, I'm Macbeth. Macbeth is my favourite to teach, and Lord of the Flies. But yeah, I actually weirdly got bang into Shakespeare, which feels odd, doesn't it,
good
as a
fun.
Thing to like. But yeah, I do like Shakespeare.
But if you can find the fun in the naughtiness in Shakespeare, because there's humour in it.
Yeah, except the ones that people say are funny, like A Midsummer Night's Dream, and they're, it's really funny. I'm like, no, it's not.
Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah, I'm like,
you
it's
know
not
the
funny.
10 Things I Hate About You?
I did, yeah. There's a few that are like that. Clueless is
yes.
Emma, I think. That's not Shakespeare.
Making that transition from having a full-time job to being a full-time artist.
Yes.
How many, tell me about the lead up to that, like the 6 months leading up to that.
Do you know what? Everything's happened to me in the last sort of 2 years, from start to finish, from having any song even written, it's been 2 years. So it's been a real sort of journey, and it's still quite scary. But yeah, the 6 months before, I was just trying my best to be a teacher in the day and do this by night, but everything was seeping in. You know, I was getting like, I was teaching a class, and then I'd get a text, it was like, you're doing Jules Holland next week. So I was like, it was really hard to maintain any form of professionalism in the end. I was just like, yeah, shit.
Well, 101 part-time jobs, there's that much can I explain?
Please do, that's what I need to know.
Well,
now.
It's about like the side jobs, it's about the teaching, but it's
awesome.
Also about the 101 part-time jobs that go into
That's
being.
Such a good concept, and I'm so sorry I didn't know that before we did this.
Absolutely.
That's
fine.
A great idea. I think I'm always super honest about, I made it a bit of a point to be like, I'm still working. Mm. And a lot of people do like a day in the life of an artist on TikTok, and it's like studio. And it's like, no, it's not. Tell everyone, because that's the reality of it. And especially if you're from, like I am, like a working class background or from the Northwest, and we're all skint or whatever, and we're competing with everyone in London who's got major deals and all this sort of stuff. I think it's very important to say 101 part-time jobs go into this. Being an artist, and there's no shame in it, and I think
no, it's cool.
It is cool.
Because that being a part of an artist, there's always going to be a huge amount of inspiration there.
Yeah.
That's how everyone becomes a musician. You go to a show and you're like, I want to do this.
I think
so. It's always going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it's not split, divided between you're either an artist or you're not. I feel like there's a big overlap there.
There should be,
I'm going to go out and say it. I think everyone's an artist.
That's really good. I used to say a similar thing where I'd be like, everyone's got a novel in them. Like, it's just, it's in there, like ruminating.
He's got to retire.
Yeah. Or maybe just keep like doing 500 words a day.
What's your worst part-time job you've had?
I used to work at Burton Menswear above a Dorothy Perkins and nobody ever came in. So I'd just be like sweeping a spot on the floor. Ricky Hatton's brother came in once to buy a... Not even Ricky Hatton.
Hello.
Ricky Hatton's, yeah, name drop, clang. Yeah, you've got in straight away.
Would you write lyrics on the job there? Would you find yourself?
No, I was 16. I was just thinking about, am I going to kiss that
booze,
girl at the weekend?
Sex.
Yeah, that was it. And I never did kiss that girl at the weekend. No. But it's not a very sexy job, is it, Burton's?
But I think no jobs are sexy.
No.
I actually think...
No, come on. Well, fireman?
Fireman is pretty
stripper.
Sexy. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Astronaut. Scientist.
Did you watch This Town?
I did watch This Town.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was really good. What was he called, the guy who made it? He'd done loads of other stuff. Peaky Blinders and that.
Yeah.
It was good.
Do you find yourself with a bit more... Well, do you have more free time now that you're doing music full-time?
No, because the better it goes, the more... you put into it, and I think that the more obsessed I'm writing a record at the minute and I'm dangerously obsessed with it, so I'm, you know, up at all hours, like having ideas and
yourself any boundaries?
I really try, and like I'll put my phone away. I try and go to the cinema on my own or with friends, usually on my own. Don't know why.
Just
I'm in like a dark room and I can't go on my phone, and then I'll zen out, or a gig. But now a gig is a busman's holiday, and I'm like, oh, wonder what plug in
stuff.
Yeah, I'm like,
what was the last gig that you thought, fuck, that was good, I need to up my game, or just enjoyed it?
English teacher. Yes. Saw them doing their strip back thing at Soup Kitchen in Manchester and in London. And that was just a bit like, maybe I'd re-record the whole album.
You know, that's what the Killers did after they heard Is This It?
Makes sense. I was so close. I was so close. I was like, this is not anywhere near as good as this, but yeah.
What are you most looking forward to coming up? What's on your bucket list that's a reality?
We're doing Glastonbury again this summer. What else are we doing? Just all the festivals. We're going like abroad a few times this year. You know, and you hear like people who are in bands and they're always like, I've just come back from Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Turns out that's what I get to do this time.
Get on
your
Tumblr.
Yeah.
Do you write a diary?
I was speaking actually to Lily from English Teacher recently about journaling. I could get into it, but I'm not quite there.
I think it's quite scary. It's quite a big mountain to look at.
Yeah.
But I think you just say what happened in your day.
Yeah, yeah. I think that might help
it's more
me.
More poetic than...
It could help me just understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I've just sort of been tumbling through for sort of 18 months.
Hey, Anthony Smerick, 101 part-time jobs. What's the biggest fuck-up that you've made at work?
Oh, that's a well good one. I once filled all of the bins at Odeon with popcorn that was fine that I thought had gone off. And it was like thousands of pounds worth of popcorn. That wasn't good.
Brilliant.
Really good one.
Hey, big love. Anything you want to say to me? Any questions you want to ask me?
Just whatever this is, keep going. And you seem like a really lovely man. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So damn clean, so damn
fine. I'm so perfect. Hi, my name is Collie Black. This is 101 Part-Time Jobs. Great conversation. It was fun. I'm here with Liverpool Sound City. I'm about to shell it. Watch this space. I'm here.
Quali, 101 part-time jobs.
Yep.
Here in Liverpool.
Yes.
Been to Liverpool before?
Once.
What was it like?
It was cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I was just there for like my brother's Jewish performance, so I was just there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. When did you get into music? What was the first bit of music you wrote and recorded?
I've always kind of been around music. I've grown up around it. But I kind of really came into it around 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I made a project before that. As just fun,
yeah.
Because I did spoken word before,
yes.
And then I transitioned into like rap, tried it, wasn't good at it, left it alone, and then I was like, you know, let me actually study music. Let me become an artist. Like, let me do it seriously.
Right.
So I spent like all of 2019 learning how to make music, and then
that was the year.
That was it.
What's really interesting about that is that you're like, okay, I've tried this and it's not worked first time.
Terrible.
You don't hear that too much. That's like a vital part of the story.
Yeah. No, it's horrible. It was like, I'd never ever lived that down. Like, when people find me and they find that project that I just released for...
But it doesn't matter.
Fun.
It's just what it is.
Horrible.
It's part of the journey.
It's horrible.
Do you think that made you like that kind of... I mean, people talk about like ego and like breaking down those barriers. Was that part of that for you?
I think it was more a case of me realizing, oh, this is not easy. Like, people assume you can just go in a studio and just make a song and it's like, cool. But there's a genuine skill set behind crafting good music. And I think that's not really talked about enough. But yeah, it kind of made me realize.
It's the discipline.
Yes.
It's the hard work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the waking up early.
I mean,
In some cases. But what time do you wake up?
Depends on the day.
Okay, all right.
Depends on the day.
Tuesday.
I got to go to the office at 7 o'clock. But if it's a regular day, you might not see me until 10 a.m.
Yeah. Hey, but, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
I was 12. I was getting up at 12 for a long
time. That's the dream, though.
I'd like to. But my favourite time is in the morning now.
Why?
It's the smell of coffee.
What?
I feel good. Answer some emails. Just get out of the way.
No. Sleep is good. Nah, I hear it.
So you're working alongside music. I mean, everyone is. That's what this show's about. Yeah. I mean, for a long time, there's that like kind of velvet curtain that artists are hidden behind by their, by whatever, the industry. Mm. That's not the world we live in now.
No.
How have you found being an artist alongside having a job, having a full-time job?
It's all right. It's hard because you kind of don't want to do the full-time job anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you just want to do music. But then, as an upcoming artist, independent, you got to fund your music.
Yeah.
So you need a job.
So it becomes a reason to...
Exactly.
It at least has a purpose.
Yes.
It's not what you want to do, but at least it serves
a
job. It
absolutely
serves a purpose.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all a means to an end at the end of the day. So for me, it's like, okay, I got to do this. It's part of the journey, right? I do this bit now, then I can live off the music when I take off.
Do you know, it's underrated, I think, when people do things that they don't want to do.
Mm.
Because, yeah, life sucks a lot of the time, but it's what you do with it.
Facts. That's true. Yeah, no, yeah. Getting up to go to work.
It's raining,
it's
you're
horrible.
Getting on the bus.
Yeah, horrible. On the trains, London trains as well.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not
fun. It's merry, you get on the bus and it's just like, you know, it's steamed up?
Yes.
And you're like, why am I here?
Why am I here?
I'm cold.
What am I doing?
My shoes have got holes in.
Whoa. Okay.
Not anymore.
We thank God for that.
I've gone places.
Those are nice as well. Those are really cool.
Do you know, not bad. I thought for a little while, am I an Adidas kind of person?
Do you suit them?
I just jumped, thank you very much.
You suit them very well.
What's the last kind of year been like for you? Because life moves quickly when you're an artist.
Yes.
But it also moves slow,
yes.
I think it's better to say.
Yes, that's a good thing
to
say.
How do you, because you don't want to rush it, but at the same time, you want to make moves. You want every week, every day to count.
Yes.
So how do you look at that? Have you got like a schedule of how you do things?
I guess the last year has been one of growth in a sense. But it's also been slow because it's been like, things have happened around me, but it hasn't translated into things happening for me.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I've like had some wins, some great wins, but in a sense of like...
They come and go.
I mean, not even that. It's more like where I want to be isn't quite, well, I'm not quite there yet.
That is always going to be the way. That's a human thing, isn't it? You want to be somewhere and then by the time you get there, you could have had it. You could have, and you feel like you could have done it 2 years before.
Exactly.
I guess it's reconciling that feeling.
Yes.
And gratitude.
Yes.
All of these big things.
Delayed gratification. And it's also trying to navigate your own sense of like hubris and be like, oh, you're not there yet, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Get there. Just every day, get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more a case of like every day, what do I do to push the needle? And, you know, some days you don't do anything and that's okay.
Yeah. You've got to be bored sometimes. That's part of it. Sometimes you've got to relax.
Yeah, facts. Yeah. I want to relax more, but.
What's one thing that you do really want to do in the next couple of years? Is it support someone? I know you're tight with Koji Radical.
Yeah.
Are you collaborating? Are you doing things together? Or is that more of like a friendship? Where you're talking about experience, you know, where your homies.
Yeah,
speak to each other for advice.
Yeah, he's a big support system. He's a really big support system. But I think it's more a case of I need to earn the right to get there, to sit down and have a conversation of, oh yeah, if you're going on tour, let me open all your shows.
Yeah.
I got to earn that.
Yeah.
So I guess for the next 2 years, I want to do a festival run. I want to do maybe like a mini tour, whether that's support slots or my own tour.
That's refreshing. And until then, keep your head down.
Literally. Hustling until then. I work in tech sales, software sales.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that you'll always learn something everywhere you go.
Yes.
Even in the most unlikely places.
Yes, yes.
Even if you think you're bored and everything's shit. But
yeah.
You're like, you take something away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the diligence, the having to do, like wake up every day and do it.
Yeah.
That I've learned from working a full-time job, because there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Like you have to do it.
No one's going to do it for you.
No one does. And especially sales, where you make decent on your base, but you make more money the more you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, right, you actually have to wake up and deliver.
Yeah.
So when I translate that to music, I do that with my live shows, my live performances. I wake up and I have to deliver. Because this is my opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? New crowds as well. If I take one person from that crowd and they become a fan, I've done my job.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
I feel like it's quite difficult. Artists have a difficult time for a specific reason that people are going to value themselves on their own perceived success.
Yes. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Like, what's your journey with that?
It's difficult. It's a good question, because I look at myself sometimes and I go, I'm not it. Like, I'm not successful. But then others will tell me, like, you are.
Yeah.
And it's perspective. Like, everyone is on a level, and some people are looking up at you, and you, even though you're looking up at some other people.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always having that perception of, like, oh, there's others who are kind of looking at me and going, wow, Colly's doing madness. He's doing this, he's doing that. But I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not doing anything. So yeah, it's hard.
Isn't that funny that we always look towards people who we think are doing better than us? We never
look down. It's crazy. But
and that's everyone. Especially now, you know, when you go on a screen, you're looking at people going on holiday and traveling and this and that, and you always think you kind of got a bit of a, you know, you always think other people are doing better than you. I think that's a kind of our generation
comparison
thing.
It's the FIFA joy, isn't it? That's what they say. And
FIFA joy.
FIFA joy, yeah. FIFA, shout me. I got good music for you, I promise. It's a thief of joy. It's like, it's a cycle as well. It's a horrible cycle to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've stopped looking at my numbers. Stopped.
You don't look at the Spotify.
Don't look at the Spotify numbers. No.
Smart, because it doesn't affect what you're doing, right?
No, it doesn't reflect
the creativity.
It doesn't reflect what I'm doing. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't reflect like the quality of music, but at the same time, it's such a big gauge of your value, but I just try not to look at it.
Music's music. It's communication.
It's music's music. It depends if you're listening or not.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening, you'll find what's good.
Is there something that specifically you want to write about that you haven't yet?
Being the best artist in the UK and charting all the time. Because I want to do that too. I want to say that. I want to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just want to flex a little bit.
Yeah. Sort of old school in a way, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, because, like, you know, Stormzy does it all the time. Like, shout out Stormzy.
Yeah.
I want to do it too.
Yeah.
I too want to chart and rap about charting.
Hell yeah.
But, nah.
Because you empower people when people listen to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Music does that funny thing. When you listen to something that's bigging themselves up, you feel
like
elevated.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess for me, I don't know if there's anything. I definitely want to commentate more on life.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of reflect more on things going on. I feel like we don't have enough of that in rap.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds weird. We do, but we don't. In the way that I'm thinking about it.
Is that a day-to-day life, like communities?
Yeah, like
reflecting
situations and communities and sort of like phases in life that we go through, but putting that into a body of work. That's kind of what I want to do.
Yeah.
Eventually, at some point.
Yeah, and then it becomes a time capsule.
Literally, yeah. People will find it when they need it.
That's awesome, Qualy. Thanks very much.
Thank you, man.
101 part time jobs.
Appreciate it.
Here we go.
Thank you. Makes me happy. I'm so happy it makes me
sick. I'm done pretending. Joshua Epithet.
Hi.
101 part-time jobs.
Thank you for having me.
When you think about all the jobs that go into being an artist, what's in the first couple of things you think of?
You have to, I made a song about this recently. You kind of have to have like a rubbish sort of mundane job to realize how good music is. Like, if you don't have any like authentic experiences, like if you don't do something that everyone else has done, like I used to work this job, I used to work at, you know, WH Smith's.
Yeah.
I used to sit behind the till and it was the deadest day, it was on a Sunday. And I just sit there for like 6 hours and no one will come in, apart from like kids having fights out on the street and being like, I won that fight, right? Like that was the only time that people would come in. People weren't even buy. They come in and they complain about the price and then leave. So it's sort of like, I was just sat there and I was kind of like, I could be doing so many different things right now. So I think it kind of like just made me use my time a bit more wisely, because I was like, oh, I could be here every day for the rest of my life, which is fine for some, you know, some people. I just can't, I'm way too impatient. I couldn't do it. I was just sort of like, this is too English for me.
Yeah.
It's too miserable.
And it's a good point. Some some people wouldn't mind doing it, but that's what makes us all different. And I think you've got to be like honest to yourself.
Oh no,
and
exactly.
If you don't enjoy something, you don't enjoy it. I think you've got to say that.
Yeah, if it doesn't feel right, then I'm like, you shouldn't be doing. Like, if it feels unnatural to you in any way, like, just go run for the hills.
So you wrote a new song just about this. What's the song called?
It's called "So This Is Living." I was kind of like, when I was like 13, I kind of realized how I was kind of scared about how shit my life was gonna be. I was, can I swear? Sorry.
Yeah.
Shit.
Valid
shit, sorry.
Fear.
Yeah. I was like,
I still think that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I better do something before it gets shit.
But I was just terrified that I was just gonna like had like an existentialism thing, and I was kind of like fade off and no one remember me. I just do some like every other day job and kind of just be like not remembered. And I was, that scared me, because I was kind of like, well, what's the point in living anyways? But I was like, living it in the first place is better than not living at all, you know. Yeah, what I mean, what's the point in just being like, oh, everything's shit and I'm just gonna sit back and like just do something about it, innit?
And you, it's all right to like find out, and like it's never a waste of time to do something for a little bit, and then,
nah, like, yeah, exactly, you gotta find out what's like right for you. Yeah. I don't want to ever be like just sort of like, oh, I'm not gonna try that, I'm just gonna stay in my own little box and I'm gonna behave myself.
Well, making mistakes is a huge part of, well, it's part of life. It's definitely part of music as
100%. As the thing is, like, people like ask like oh, like when you started making music, like how did you know? And I was like, I did not. Like, the first songs I made, I think they've been banned in the UK because they were that bad, you know. They just like, I have like no natural talent whatsoever. It was just sort of like, I wanted it so badly. Like, I was like, again, back to doing the job thing, I was sort of like, I cannot be here all the time because it's just killing me, so I have to try my hardest at this, and if it doesn't work, at least I can try my hardest. But it's going pretty,
that's
well,
so refreshing to hear, because no one starts off a genius.
And also, can I quote controversy as well? Sometimes when people are like musical geniuses, like I don't know how to say his last name, Jacob Collier and stuff, and Charlie Puth, this is just my opinion, but because they have this sort of like perfect pitch stuff, and they have this sort of like musical genius in their head that they've probably been born with or something, it makes their music sort of too clean. I feel like music has to have like edges, you know. It can't be just like, oh, it can't just be like a meal from like a gourmet meal. It has to be sort of like something really like rough. I don't know.
I think we see ourselves in music.
Yeah, exactly.
And life's not perfect.
Life's not perfect. So you're not going to be as perfect as this song that has every single note in the right place. I kind of hate, it needs to have like personality, you know what I mean? It just needs to like breathe. My album's out at the end of this month, and there's a song, it's called Like Dying Dogs on Telly. And it's sort of like, she'll come in, and if I'm sad, I have like that sort of face, she'll be like, you got a face like dying dogs on telly. And like that. And everyone was like, what does, like, can't you like shorten this? What does this mean? That's the real thing. I can't just be like, oh, I can't like clean it up for you. It's like, it feels right for the song. It feels right to me. I don't know. It's kind of, it's like the most personal song on the album, so it kind of feels right to give it the most personal name and sort of
be real, because anything else is less than.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Not real.
Oh, I hate inauthenticity. I hate like unoriginality. Like, I just kind of like, when people like, I see it a lot like nowadays, that people just kind of try and copy other bands, and then people will like those bands because they sound like this other band, which is cool, and that's fine, but you're never going to do anything like important by doing that. It's just going to be like, this band sounds like this band, or this artist, it sounds like this artist, I don't know.
And this is why you're going to go far. This is brain work. You know, you thought about this.
I wish I would stop thinking sometimes, you know what I mean? I'm just sort of like always thinking, I'm like, what can I do to, like, this next music video has to be like this. Like, I have like the next three albums planned out. I always had to have something going on in my brain, and music just makes me really happy, and just building worlds, I don't know, it's just really cool.
Building worlds that people are invited to.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's sort of, I think safe spaces are really important in music. I think people need to be sort of like comforted through other people's art. I don't know, I feel like,
and that goes to the live environment.
Yeah, oh, 100%. It's such a cool, like, I think I didn't really start performing live till like last year, and then when I did it for the first time, I kind of understood that to look face to face with someone and then understand what you're saying and to say it back, that's like a feeling like no other. Like, they actually completely understand what you're saying, which is really cool, which is, I think, is like,
that's what we've been doing for centuries,
exactly,
thousands of years.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I feel like, like, even when like my Irish ancestors were in the pub and they were singing like folk songs and stuff like this about that person's died and then that person's died and then that person's also died, people can relate to that. Just
communication.
It's communication. Yeah, it's just chatting to each other, you know, through different vessels. Yeah.
Hey Josh, great chatting. Yeah. I think you're gonna go far.
Oh, thank you, man.
Your songs are rad. You're an individual.
Thank you so
much. We're in Liverpool Sound City right now.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with Liverpool? Your cousins live here, right?
I have a few cousins that live here. They live in Formby, so it's like It's, you know, some people might say that's not real Liverpool, and I think they'll be pissed off by that. But no, it's I used to come here quite a lot as a kid. Like, my mum has some cousins here and stuff like that. It's like my cousin in a way, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Manchester's my home, but this is like my cousin's city.
And close enough.
Yeah, man. It's like 40 minutes, and so it's like, and you get to see all these cool things, and so it's just it's also, I see it as like a boxing partner. Mm-hmm. And so every artist that comes out of Liverpool, I feel like I have to kind of like compete with them. I'm like, no, I have to rep my city. I gotta be better, you know, for old time's sake. Like, there's a great artist called Reese, and their music is really good now. It's really blowing up. But like, they're from Liverpool, so cool. I'm like, I really respect you, but like, I need to be bigger than you. I need to outdo you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah.
One last question. Yeah. You're clearly someone who thinks seriously, but in a creative way, which I find, you know, it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how do you take fun seriously? It's like taking serious fun.
Yeah.
What's the last thing that you've been obsessed with? What's the last idea?
Like a hyperfixation thing.
Yeah.
I'm really into like cults at the moment. I have like this whole idea.
Into what?
Cults, you know,
cults.
Like, yeah. Like, sorry, accent.
Sorry, well, no, same here.
Yeah. It's like just the idea of like a group like forming behind one idea and just kind of like following that. And there's always like one mad bastard leading it who's just like not reliable,
you know,
at all.
I don't this want to end up on like some kind of.
Oh yeah, on bad note. I'm not endorsing cults. Let me make that clear. I just think they're fascinating. Yeah. I think it's cool that as humans, sometimes we can fall into like a hive mind, sort of like animals and stuff like that. Like, I think that's like, it's sort of like an animalistic nature to be like, and we're all going to live on a farm and you're going to do this job and then maybe we'll kill some people. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's so interesting that brains confuse together sometimes.
Totally. I think we all feel lonely.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it.
I think, in music sometimes, I feel like a lot of people are kind of like, form into one idea of how to do things now, and that makes me really sad, because some people make great music, but I feel like they promote it in a way that's beneath them. So I'm just sort of like, you know, I don't know, I see it like every day today. I'm not saying that I'm any better than them, I'm just saying that I just notice a pattern, and it's cool to see in people's brain chemistries that they're matching to other people, you know. It's just nice to observe. I'm an observer,
and as a fan, I want everyone to be into their own individuality.
Yeah, of course.
And not
just
do things because that's how other people do it.
No, exactly. You want people to be different. You know, you want people to be, and that's like the downside of the internet, is that you see so many people doing like things that it kind of all blends together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas people were kind of forced to be a bit more individual like a bit long ago. But I mean, if it feels right to you, then do it. I'm not like, but I just know I see it in some people's eyes, and like, if I don't believe you singing those songs, like, the reason I love Rihanna, she don't write her own songs, but she sings those songs like she believes them, right? That's the difference of people who get this, who even write their own songs. But I'm like, you're doing this for a different reason. You're doing this to supplement your career or something like that. Just like, believe in who you are and do your own music, and it will all happen great. Like, as long as you're being yourself, like, good for you, you know?
Hell yeah. Josh Epithet, 101 Part-Time Jobs.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah, that's it. That's basically the message. Not too much though. Don't be too cocky, but like, you know, you got to reach a limit. But thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Great.
Thank you, Josh. Cheers to Anthony Schmerich, Quali Black, and Joshua Epithet for those chats. Here's another band that I absolutely loved seeing over the weekend. Here's a clip from their latest album, ROI. This is Aerial Salad with the same 24 hours as Beyonce. Stick around, as we've got a couple of more episodes. We've got Alex Spencer and Lee Loy, and then we'll hear from the Mysterines, Crawlers, and Venus Girls. Stick around and subscribe.
One Part-Time Jobs is hosted by Giles Bidder and produced by me, Olivia Swash. This has been a Mighty Moon Media production.
Part-time jobs, part-time jobs, part-time jobs, 101. Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.